The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ed Tremblay from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Tar Heel Junior Historian magazine, North Carolina History for Students. I'm going to start by reading from Volume 59, Number 1, the Fall 2019 issue, She Changed the World, North Carolina Women Making History. And the first article today will be Out of This World, North Carolina's Astro Christina Makes History. Growing up in Jacksonville in Onslow County in the 1980s, a little girl named Christina had a dream. She dreamed of becoming an astronaut. So where is she today? In space. Now grown, Christina Hammock Koch has said, I told people when I was literally 5 years old that I wanted to be an astronaut one day. None of those people ever discouraged me. They always encouraged me to follow my dreams. Koch earned a spot to train with the 2013 class of astronauts at NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Only 8 people were chosen that year from more than 6,100 applicants. Koch graduated from the North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics in Durham and North Carolina State University in Raleigh. After 5 years of training, she was chosen to serve as a flight engineer on the International Space Station, the ISS, in 2018. The training was challenging and exhausting, both physically and mentally. For part of that time, Koch trained at the Gagarin Cosmonaut Training Center in Star City, Russia. Then she blasted into space aboard a Soyuz spacecraft with fellow NASA astronaut Nick Haig and Russian cosmonaut Alexei Ovchinin. When Koch returned to Earth, which was scheduled for February 2020, she would have logged 328 consecutive days in orbit, a new record for women in space. But one of the most important of those days was October 18, 2019. Christina Koch and fellow NASA astronaut Jessica Meir took a little walk, a spacewalk that made history because it was the first all-woman spacewalk in United States history. Since the world's first spacewalk in 1965, only 14 women have done them versus 213 men. Koch and Meyer were interviewed from space following their historic spacewalk. A reporter for National Public Radio, NPR, asked Koch, "Does it ever bother you that your accomplishments are often talked about in terms of your gender? Or do you think it's really important to mark these milestones?" Koch replied, "That is something I've done a lot of thinking and reflecting on. And in the end, and I do think it's important. I think it's important because of the historical nature of what we're doing, and that in the past, women haven't always been at the table. And it's wonderful to be contributing to the human spaceflight program at a time when all contributions are being accepted, when everyone has a role. And that can lead, in turn, to an increased chance for success. There are a lot of people who derive motivation from inspiring stories from people who look like them. And I think it's an important aspect of the story to tell. NASA is now making plans to land another man on the moon, and the first woman, too." Another reporter asked Koch, "Do you want to be that first woman to walk on the moon?" "The idea of having the honor of being the first woman to walk on the moon is almost too great to fathom," Koch said. "Of course it would be a dream of mine, and has been my entire life. But for now, I'll just settle for knowing that I'll probably at least know the first woman who will walk on the moon. I do know that every single person in our office is extremely qualified, and whoever does that mission will be the right person for the job and will carry the hopes and dreams of everyone to explore." In an interview with the News and Observer of Raleigh, Christina Koch said, "Most kids probably dream of becoming an astronaut. I was just the one that never grew out of it." And here are the captions that accompany the photographs in this article. Koch is an avid photographer and uses that talent to document her experiences in space. While working as an Expedition 60 flight engineer, she took these images of Hurricane Dorian as it headed toward the North Carolina coast on September 2, 2019. She posted many on Instagram, including the top one with the message, "Outer Banks, you are in my heart." Working on various scientific experiments is a daily part of Christina Koch's life in space. Here, she and fellow astronaut Andrew Morgan stow biological research samples into a science freezer located inside the U.S. Destiny laboratory module. Girl power. Astronauts Jessica Meyer and North Carolina's Christina Koch just prior to their history-making all-female spacewalk. Christina Koch in her official NASA portrait. A diagram of the International Space Station, astronaut Christina Koch's home until February 2020. And top photograph, NASA astronauts Christina Koch from North Carolina and Jessica Meyer performing the first all-women spacewalk on October 18, 2019. That article was written by Kathy East, who's the editor of the Tar Heel Junior Historian magazine. Next, a closer look at women who changed the world. First, Elizabeth Libba Cotton, born 1893, died 1987. Elizabeth Cotton was born and grew up near Chapel Hill. At an early age, she began to borrow her mother's banjo when he was out of the house, and soon mastered the banjo and guitar. Since she was left-handed, she developed a unique style, turning the instruments upside down. This technique would later become known as cotton picking. Her first album, Elizabeth Cotton, Negroes, Folk Songs, and Tunes, was released in 1958. It included the song Freight Train, which she wrote when she was 11 or 12 years old. Cotton was named a National Heritage Fellow by the National Endowment for the Arts, was recognized by the Smithsonian Institution as a living treasure, and received a Grammy Award when she was 90. Willie Odie Kay, born 1894, died 1992. Willie Odie Kay transformed dreams into dresses for generations of Tar Heel brides, debutantes, and partygoers, while transcending the boundaries of segregated society. In 1912, she earned a degree in home economics from Shaw University and won first prize in the school's dressmaking competition. Later in life, when widowed with five children to provide for, Kay channeled her dressmaking talents into a business venture. She set up shop at home where she could be present for her children during the day. No one knew just how Willie Kay chose her clients, but she was in such demand that even the most prominent socialites worked around her schedule. Maya Angelou, born 1928, died 2014. Maya Angelou was many things: poet, author, Grammy-winning composer, and civil rights leader. She chronicled her difficult upbringing and fascinating life through a series of autobiographies, including the best-selling book I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, from 1970. She lived in North Carolina for more than 30 years after moving to Winston-Salem in 1981 to begin a lifetime teaching position at Wake Forest University. The first person to hold a Reynolds Professor of American Studies chair, Angelou taught classes in writing, ethics, philosophy, science, and other subjects. Sonora Lynch, born 1963. Sonora Lynch is a member of the Halawa Saponi tribe, known especially for her pottery creations. Growing up in Hollister, Lynch was inspired by the many family members around her who worked with their hands to create art. She began to learn and develop her pottery skills while volunteering with elder members of her tribe. Lynch uses traditional methods to coil and build her pots, and includes traditional symbols in her art such as turtles, birds, eagles, and bears. But her artfully elaborate designs also add a contemporary element to her work. Her pottery has been displayed at the National Museum of Women in the Arts and is in the collection of the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian, and the North Carolina Museum of History. Gertrude B. Ellion, born 1918, died 1999. Gertrude Bell Ellion was an American biochemist and pharmacologist. When Ellion earned her degree in chemistry in 1937 from Hunter College in New York City, she had felt excited and ready to start work in a laboratory. Her excitement faded, though, when she could not get hired. The Great Depression had made jobs difficult to find, and women had an extra hard time finding jobs in science. In 1944, Ellion joined the Burroughs Wellcome Laboratories, later part of Glaxo Wellcome, today known as GlaxoSmithKline, based in Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. There she was first the assistant and then the colleague of George H. Hitchings, with whom she worked for the next four decades. She and Hitchings won the 1988 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine with Sir James Black. Eva Clayton, born 1934. In 1992, Eva Clayton became the first African-American woman to represent North Carolina in Congress, North Carolina's first black United States House representative since 1901. Mobilized by the civil rights movement, Clayton first became active in the political process during the 1960s. She once even picketed her husband's law office to protest the firm's ownership of a building that contained a segregated restaurant. Stephanie Wheeler, born 1981. Born in Norlina, Stephanie Wheeler is a coach, Paralympic gold medalist, World Championship gold medalist, and collegiate national champion, and a North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame inductee. She was a member of the gold medal winning gold medal winning women's wheelchair basketball team at both the 2004 Athens and 2008 Beijing Paralympic Games. She was also a member and co-captain of the gold medal winning 2010 World Championship team that competed in Birmingham, England. Her goal, through her education, activist work, and coaching career at University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, is to make sports an accessible and safe place for all who participate, with no regard to gender, ability, or sexuality, and to be empowered by that participation in sports. Next, Tell Me About It, by David Dry and the Southern Oral History Program. David Dry is a graduate student in the Department of History at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and a former community college and high school instructor. He's currently working with the Southern Oral History Program as a field scholar. Voices from the Southern Oral History Program. Researchers at the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill have been recording life history interviews with Southerners from all walks of life for more than 40 years. They have more than 6,000 interviews in their archive, all of which are available online. That means you can listen to people describe what it was like when they first got electricity, or marched in the civil rights movement, or worked in a textile mill. Read or listen to full oral histories at www.sohp.org. One of the best ways to figure out what happened in the past is to talk to people who actually experienced it. You can do this through oral histories, interviews with people who have personal knowledge and memories of things that happened in the past. People who remember the past are all around you. All you have to do is start asking questions. You can talk to people you know to discover stories of your family or local community, or to hear the actual voices of people who remember a particular time or event. Oral historians believe you don't have to be famous for your life to be history. Ordinary people working for change have transformed the world. Here are a few oral histories with women talking about their struggles for equal rights. By actively fighting for what they believed, these women made a difference in their communities and helped inspire social change. Josephine Clement, born 1918, died 1998, a civic leader, interviewed August 3, 1989. You can't fight for one segment or one part of a person and not fight for equal rights of all. And this is how I think I came to the women's movement, because I had been brought up to fight for the rights of black people. And I realized that I could not divide myself up. I am not only black, I am a black female, and it goes together. Betty Murchison, born 1953, an entrepreneur, interviewed April 18, 2019. My mom wanted to vote so bad, and I remember registering her to vote. She dressed up like she was going to church, and that really stuck with me. This is important. This is really an important event for her. She put on her Sunday best, including her high-heel shoes, and we went across the street to the community center to vote. And I remember how much pride she felt that day, and how proud I was in her, because I knew she could not have done this when she was born. Isabella Cannon, born 1904, died 2002, mayor of Raleigh from 1977 to 1979, interviewed June 27, 1989. I look at the fact that I am the only woman mayor of Raleigh in almost 200 years of history. It's not just that the citizenry can elect a woman has to offer herself. It never occurred to me as anything historic when I did it. I was just a furious, angry citizen, and I wanted to see something done. Florence Glassner, born 1931, women's rights activist, interviewed July 11, 2006. When we used to meet as a women's forum, we would sit for the first few minutes and go around the circle of those who were there and brag. As Southern women, we were told that we should be immodest, that what we should do is talk about our husband's accomplishments, not our own. There needed to be practice with bragging. Margaret Kesey Forrester, born 1943, died 2006. Politician, interviewed April 21, 1989. I remember the first day I was in the building, in the office, and the senator came across the hall and asked me whose secretary I was, and I told him I wasn't a secretary. He then asked me whose wife I was. Then I told him I was not married. I was a state representative from Guilford County, and he sort of did a double take because I did not look like the state representative he was used to. Jesse Daniel Ames, born 1883, died 1972, a suffragist, interviewed in 1965 and 1966. I said I wanted to open up an account, and the cashier looked at me and asked me if I had my husband's permission. And I hit the ceiling. I said, no, it's my money. Then I found out about the laws governing married women, and the husbands owned everything. And that really started me in suffrage. Jennifer Copeland, a minister, interviewed April 2, 2019. Now we go, oh yeah, women have the vote. But it is good to go back and remember there was a struggle for this, and there are still struggles. Maybe not the struggle for women's votes, but there are different struggles. We were talking earlier about how each struggle is particular, but actually the struggles are for human dignity. Marion Groover, born 1947, factory worker, union activist, interviewed May 25, 2010. A feminist says, I am a person who's entitled to everything that you get in America. My dad told me to use that because that brings them back to what it means. You're not saying I'm different from you. You're saying I have the same rights you do. I can stand up and say this. I can be educated. Next article. Who's on your wall? Here are some famous North Carolina women, some famous in history, some mostly famous with family and friends. What photos are on the wall where you live, and who would you like to add? First one is an unidentified woman from the early 1860s. We don't know much about her, but her clothes suggest she was well-to-do. Was she ever enslaved, as many North Carolina African-American women of this era had been? What stories could she tell us about life before, during, and after the Civil War? A group of women standing in front of a building at the Wiscasset Mills in Albemarle around 1918. Many women got their first taste of working outside the home when they replaced male workers sent to fight in World War I. Madeline Battle Glory Hancock, born 1881, died 1930, who grew up in Asheville, was the most decorated nurse to serve with the Allied forces in World War I. She served in hospitals in Belgium and France and remained on the front lines throughout the war. Georgia Ann Thompson Tiny Broadwick, 1893, born, died 1978. She was the first woman to parachute from an airplane. A young woman in regalia joins the opening procession at the North Carolina History's American Indian Heritage Celebration. A young girl dances at a party for her quinceañera, the Latinx celebration of a girl's 15th birthday and her transition from childhood to adulthood. Harriet Moorhead Berry, born 1877, died 1940, was president of the North Carolina Good Roads Association. She fought for legislation that helped bring better roads to everyone throughout the state. Millie Dunn Vesey, born 1918, died 2018. Born in Raleigh, served in the Women's Army Corps, the WACS, and the Women's Auxiliary Army Corps, the WAAC WACS, during World War II from 1942 to 1945. Mia Hamm, 1972, born, is considered one of the greatest soccer players in American history. She played at UNC Chapel Hill from 1989 to 1993 and helped win four consecutive NCAA Women's Championships. She's also a two-time Olympic gold medalist and a two-time FIFA Women's World Cup champion. Women picking galax leaves in the North Carolina mountains, October 1939. For T.N. Woodruff and Company, which started selling galax leaves to florists in New York City in 1907. A woman could pick as many as 10,000 leaves in a day. And members of the History Chick Junior Historian Club at the 2009 Tar Heel Junior Historian Association's annual convention. Here's an activity just for fun. Do the Dolly Dash. On August 24, 1814, during the War of 1812, the British captured Washington, D.C. They set fire to many of the nation's government buildings, including the White House. North Carolina's own Dolly Madison is credited with the saving of an 8-foot-tall portrait of George Washington in the chaos fleeing the city. In this game, you'll need to be urgent and swift to save important documents and valuables from capture by the British. What you need is two printed copies of Gilbert Stuart's famous portrait of George Washington, or two drawings that you can create, and enough friends or classmates to split into two relay teams. And this is how you play. First, determine a clear starting line, then tape the portraits beside each other on the opposite wall from the starting line. Line your two teams up at the start. The first person from each team's line will run to the portrait, take it from the wall to save it, and run it back to the next person in line. The second person in each team's line will take the portrait back to the opposite wall and leave it there before returning to the starting line. Repeat the process until everyone in each line has had a turn. The team with all players to complete the dash first is the winning team. Here are the captions that go with the port with this activity. It's photographs. Historians now know that the painting saved by Dolly Madison was a copy made by the same artist, Gilbert Stuart, born 1755, died 1828. The original portrait of George Washington was wildly popular, so Stuart painted several copies, including the one created in 1797 that was bought by the U.S. government. Remember, there were no cameras or printers to make copies back then. Today, this copy hangs in the East Room of the White House. What is interesting is that the artist created a typo in the portrait on purpose to identify that copy from the original. Can you find the typo in the close-up? Next article, from the editor, what do you think? What do you think about the women in this issue of Tar Heel Junior Historian? Did you know much about them? Which ones do you admire? Whether you were a girl or a boy, who inspires you to be the best you? The women in this issue are all different, which is one of the coolest things about people. But I noticed one thing about all of them that was the same. They all had a dream. There was something they wanted, and they worked hard to get it. Gertrude Weil dreamed of being able to walk up to a ballot box and vote without being arrested, to be equal to men who had always had that right. African-American Deborah Austin dreamed of being a ballet dancer, even when most professional ballet dancers were white. As a little girl, Christina Koch dreamed of becoming an astronaut, and today she's up there, right now as I write this, living and working in space. North Carolina women making history. But these women had more than dreams. They had ideas, and they had a plan, and they had passion, passion that fueled their hard work. They never gave up, even if they sometimes felt like quitting. They kept trying till they captured that dream with their own two hands. The past is a fascinating history book. The future is a book that has not yet been written. But you and I are writing that new book right now with everything we do. What do you dream of doing or being? Who in the history books and in this magazine inspires you? Whatever you dream about, good luck. Because you too can change the world and make history. Kathy East. A couple of photographs, dreams of the past and dreams of the future. The top photograph, women students at Meredith College in Raleigh dreamed of the right to vote and showed a strong college equal suffrage league in their 1918 yearbook. And below that, astronaut Christina Koch dreamed of being an astronaut when she was a little girl. Today she is a NASA astronaut making history. Also in the magazine, on the inside cover, She Changed the World, North Carolina Women Breaking Barriers, at www.ncdcr.gov/She Changed the World. The year 2020 marks the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, guaranteeing and protecting women's constitutional right to vote. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of North Carolina History. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ed Tremblay, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time, if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.